Welcome to the conference call for the quarterly release of the nine-month period 2018 of Illumeo SE. May I now hand you over to Mr. Boyer. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our conference call for the Q3 numbers of the year 2018. I have here with me Bernd Fischer, our CFO, and also Ingo Stober, our newly appointed Chief Restructuring Officer, and together we will guide you through the presentation for the third quarter. This quarter has been probably the most challenging quarter that our company has had since we went public in the year 2015. But at the same time, we at the moment are very confident that the company is on a good track to get back to a proper development with both growth and profitability. And we will guide you through this presentation in order to explain why we believe that this will be the case. On the financials, you see that saying that this was a challenging quarter was not an exaggeration. We have seen declining revenues as compared to the last year by almost 20%. Our segment EBITDA was a pretty disaster. Still, I may add, you can see that we have a very positive and very strong equity, which is I think the most consoling fact in this bad situation, and as you will see in the presentation of the financial Bernd Fischer, it is also important to note that the company was close to operating cash flow break even in the third quarter, so the majority of the losses that you see here are accounting and P&L based, while on an operating basis the company was losing a lot less cash than it was losing money in the P&L. The main majority, or the biggest, the biggest reason for the declining revenues was a significant lack of diversity, and we will shortly show you why this was the case and what we are going to do about this. Number two, in order to bring the company back to profitability as fast as possible, we have initiated a cost-saving program that is pretty substantial that has already in the fourth quarter of 2018 shown its first results. We have developed a fully new merchandising strategy, which we call multi-manufacturing, and this is also showing very promising results. And we can also see that the airtime productivity of the products produced in the strategy is also much higher than with our previous approach. In total, as it is quite obvious to see in the P&L, we have three main problems. The first is we have declining sales. The second is we have even faster declining margin, and the third is we have operational cost that is either rising or not falling in line with the decline in revenues, which in total pretty much led to the situation that we now have to report for the third quarter. The declining sales, as we have already said in the second quarter for 2018, is mostly due to the fact that our factory at the moment is too big for what we can generate in sales, and therefore we've had to take a lot of production decisions based on capacity utilization of the factory rather than on what the customers really need. And that has led to a situation where we have too much of the same product, which is not too attractive from our customers' point of view, and therefore has led to declining sales. As an approach to fix this, basically we have to put customers first again, as we have done this many years before very successfully. We have very deep customer insight to what our customers really want. I think in Europe we are probably one or the biggest player in terms of data on what kind of jewelry our customers buy. We have a very in-depth database on knowing what exactly our customers want, how and at what price, and we need to use this much better in order to get back to a proper growth. And we would also, based on this data, need to see in how far we can broaden our product range and make our assortment a little bit more interesting. The second point, which is margin, is basically due to the fact that with a factory that is only 50% utilized, we have at the moment had a too bad fixed cost regression of our factory, which has led to rather high cost per piece. And at the same time, as a consequence of the sales situation, also when you have of one individual piece to offer too many at the same time, this in our sales mechanism leads to lower prices and therefore puts further pressure on our margin. So the margin came under pressure from two sides. Number one, low fixed cost regression and high cost per piece, and at the same time, lower auction prices and therefore lower ASPs, which has put the margin under pressure too. Approach in order to fix this is a approach which we call multi-manufacturing, where we have exchanged our own production in Chantaburi with a multi-manufacturing approach with contract manufacturers that offer us capacity on a permanent basis, where we can produce the jewelry that we have designed and where we have decided which gemstones to use based on our specifications. So we continue to operate this in a very deeply integrated vertical integration value chain, but at the same time we are not as dependent on utilizing capacity anymore as we have been throughout the beginning of the year 2018, and that will result in a much more lean way. In the same move, this will, as we have notified last Friday, lead to a situation where we'll have to close down our own production. Point number three, operational cost. Our fixed cost base has not declined fast enough in order to accommodate the falling margins and the falling sales, and therefore we have initiated a pretty in-depth cost savings project all across the entire group, both in Asia and also all across Europe, with a gross effect of 6 million euros for the year 2019, which comes from cost cutting, which comes from leaner distribution, which comes from more efficient processes, and also a lower overhead base in order to accommodate for the fact that also the sales are lower from what they were in the past. I would like now to hand over to Ingo Stober, who has, together with us, developed this restructuring program, and he's going to guide you through the details of this restructuring program. Thank you very much.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Ingo Stober. I joined the company like 4 weeks ago, first as an external consultant, and was elected to Chief Restructuring Officer last Friday, and now I take responsibility for the implementation and further development of the transformation and restructuring program. I will elaborate through the program, which has three elements, as Wolfgang already lined out. First part is point A, customer first, then the multi-manufacturing, and third part is the cost cutting, and now we will go into detail for each of these elements. First step is that we are going to reorganize our manufacturing value chain. Before we had one factory in Thailand which produced everything for our distribution channels. Now we will switch to a network of flexible contract manufacturers. They are located in Asia but also in Eastern Europe, and we will source specialized items from these manufacturers, which will have many advantages for us. As you can see on the right side of the slide, the cost per item will decline as these manufacturers are specialized on the items. CapEx will be reduced as we will not invest in own factories anymore. Flexibility is increased as we can use their capacity if we need it and we don't have fixed capacity. And also an important point is that variety of products we can offer will be better before, because these new manufacturing partners are able to produce additional items for us. So, and basically, we'll continue our vertical approach. We will even strengthen it because we will design the product so that we have uncomparable products in the marketplace. We will then manufacture them in our network and then distribute them via our selling approach, which is basically the TV channels, but also mobile applications and the internet. A very, very important point is that we will put the customer first. As Wolfgang explained before, a lot of the design competence was shifted to Asia, to Thailand in the last years. This led to products which were not as attractive anymore because the design style did not fit the needs of our mainly European customers. And we will change that. So we are strengthening our design competence here in Berlin. And we will also integrate our database more because, you know, we are selling jewelry for more than 10 years now and we have a very great knowledge about jewelry and our customers. And we will also integrate market trends and supplier inspiration even more than before so that we have the best products in the marketplace. So when we put the customer first, we will then design our own collections. We still have need to get better on that point. At the moment we have collection of brands, but we need to sharpen that. We need to be more precise on that. And we also have to explore younger target groups. At the moment, our average customer is like 60 years old, but as we are also discovering the internet, mobile sales channels, we need additional designs for younger target groups. These products which we have designed will then be manufactured through our flexible network of manufacturers. Here we want to become really excellent. We are now in a transformation from our own factory to this multiple supplier network, and we are making good progress on that. And in addition, we will continue controlling the gemstone supply because the gemstone is a key ingredient for our products. So we will have the control about these valuable items. And we will continue our selling approach. We are, as I came to Velo, Elomeo, I discovered everybody in the marketplace is talking about emotional commerce. How can I inspire customers? And we at Velo, we are really doing it. We have this emotional commerce on TV. We have a live interactive auction, which is creating demand and not only covering demand like companies as Amazon do it. And we will accompany this with our web shop. At the moment, our web shop is not really best in its class. It needs to get really, really better. And we will then have two sales channels. We will create demand for our emotional commerce, and we will have this web shop for the need you already have, and we will cover that. So if you have a look at the experience we already had with products coming out of our new multi-manufacturing approach, we see that these products have a very good resonance at our customers. If you look at the left side of the chart, you see the revenue per minute, which is one of our main KPIs. You see on the line above the products from our new manufacturing channels, and the line below is showing the product from the old factory. You see that the revenue per minute, which we had in the auctions, is almost double as high as we had the experience with the older product, which shows that we have a very huge revenue potential in these products. And also, if you have a look on the right side of the chart at the gross margin we can achieve with this product, you see that the margin we have with this product is like 60% compared to the products from the own Thai factory we had before. And this is mainly an effect of more attractive products. As we have an auction, the auction price for more attractive products is higher than for less attractive products. And of course, the cost per item is less, so we have a double effect on the margin. This slide shows again that, you know, the cross profit we get from multi-manufacturing, our new sourcing approach, is increasing very much. And in the top part of the chart, you see that the airtime share of the new product was increased in the last month. We started with a new process in July. We had a very low airtime share, like 3% of the new product. And now in November, we want to have like 37%. And if we elaborate this until 100%, we have a very huge leverage on sales and revenue, and our gross profit will increase very much. Of course, you know, sales is the one side. The second part is cost. We will implement a very, very harsh cost-cutting program, which will have contributions from every part of the company. It's our German sales operations, it's the international operations like Italy, UK, and also the factory in Thailand. And the total effect from this cost-cutting program will be like 6 million euros. So let me start with Germany. In the past, we had external TV guests, which presented the shows, and had a very huge cost effect on that, on our operations. So we will save like 1 million euro in skipping that. We will renegotiate TV contracts, which will have an effect like 600,000 euros. Our logistics operation will be streamlined. We will stop external storage and consolidate shipments. This will have an effect of like 1 million euros. And we will have some reorganization within the staff here in Berlin. So that leads to a cost effect of 3 million euros here in Berlin. In addition, we basically make the same activities in Italy. As the operation in Italy is smaller, the effect is with 600,000 euros, also a little bit smaller. We will close down our UK facilities completely, and we will reduce advertising in other minor international markets like the Netherlands, France, and the USA. And the third part on the slide, a very, very huge effect will come from our Thailand factory. We have a very huge overhead there, like 1.9 million euros, and as we do not have the factory anymore, we will save this overhead cost. So adding up all these effects, we will have a net effect of 9 million euros on the EBITDA. This arises from, on the left hand, an increase in gross profit of 5 million euros, and this effect of 5 million euros can be split up into additional sales. As we have more attractive products, we have higher auction prices, which leads to higher sales. Our margin will increase as we are able to source the products cheaper than before, so this will lead to an effect of 5 million euros. When we have the cost-cutting effect, like described before, of 6 million euros, adds up to 11 million euros in gross. And of course, we will experience some cost increases. DHL announced we will have an increase in the shipment fees. We have some regular staff payment increases and other effects. So we expect a net effect of 9 million euros. So our target is to break even the company in 2019. So looking forward, Illumeo has several USPs which generate competitive advantages, and the transformation process we initiated now will even strengthen these USP and further enhance the competitive advantage. So point one is deep customer insight. Illumeo is a specialist for jewelry. It's a very clear position in the market. We are not a general marketplace. We are really a specialist for jewelry. Based on that knowledge, we can have a very customer-centered product design, which allows us to create unique products which are not comparable in terms of price. And we are direct-to-consumer business. We are not depending on Amazon. We have our direct business via our web shop and our TV channel, so we are, have not the risk of Amazon. Second part is we can really offer a unique shopping experience. As I explained before, we have emotional live commerce, which is really, really unique in the market. And on the second hand, after transformation, we have an efficient online shop, which is able to cover demand and inspire. And we have a very huge chance, as especially with mobile applications, you can also see our live stream from the TV auction on the internet. Especially with the spread of mobile applications, we can then broadcast like 24 hours every 7 days of the week. And our commerce will be available everywhere, so customers are not fixed to the TV set at home anymore, so our products will be available at every place and everywhere. And third point is we will even strengthen our vertical integrated operations. We will become excellent in that. Our vertical integration means we have unique products. We are a price leader, and we are cutting out the middleman. We have our flexible network of the specialized contract manufacturers. And we want to become operational excellent in orbit with operating fast and smooth workflows. And as we are a sort of startup company, we are a digital pioneer. We have a very deep tech competence in-house. We want to leverage that even more. So looking ahead, we are planning our turnaround in three levels. Level one is break even in 2018-2019. With the implementation of a COO, we want to implement strong leadership and tight control of our measures. We want to put the customer first, focusing on our existing customer base. The switch to multi-manufacturing is a huge challenge for the company, but it offers really good opportunities for us, and we will initiate and implement our cost-cutting program. Step two is when we want to become excellent with 10% EBITDA margin. This will be reached by being excellent in operations. We will push our mobile applications, and of course we have to acquire new customers, younger customers, to elaborate on that. And we want to explore new markets with an asset-light approach, much like we are already doing in Switzerland and Austria. We can use our existing broadcasting stream from Germany, and without buying any or without installing any assets abroad, we can just broadcast into other countries. And then if we do that and we are really have a proven business model and an excellent operational platform, we can then enter into level three and scale the business and grow again. But first of all, we now have to work on our turnaround.
Okay. Good morning also from my side, Bernd Fischer. I will guide you through the financials quickly, quick summary, and ending with the outlook. And then we will start the questionnaire for the Q3 financials. On page 15, just again a quick summary on the basically recently set things. So the group's total revenues declined quite heavily for the 9-month period of almost 20%. In its majority, this is related to the reduced capacity in our production in Thailand, which then leads to a lack of variety in our product offer, as Ingo described well. And opposite, the opening of the vertically integrated supply chain, which we already started in Q3, is now accelerating, so that we have also the first positive results out of that, which can be seen. And of course also for the total development, in particular for the Q3, also the reduced B2B business had a significant impact. So when we look at the gross profit margin for the Q3, that is now down to 33%. This does include also idle cost of the decreased production capacity of our production in Thailand. The amount of around 750,000 euros is included there, and can be treated as a kind of one-off. However, of course, this is up to now a part of our segment EBITDA and total segment EBITDA. At this moment, that is also described in detail in our quarterly release. We are checking whether the shift of production from Chanthaburi to Bangkok and Jaipur is basically a matter of IFRS 5, similar to what happened to our UK business, then this would be excluded from our total segment EBITDA. Due to the timeline, so the decision was made on last Friday. At this moment, we're still discussing this with the auditors to find the proper approach. On page 16 and 17, we have the top KPIs like the revenues, gross profit, and the total segment EBITDA. The reason for the declines in all these three KPIs was already explained in detail. Also, for the nine-month period, that we came from an almost positive segment EBITDA last year to now minus 8.4 million. And on page 17, where we have the total segment EBITDA of almost 1 million euro in 2017, which unfortunately now declined to minus 4.3 million. Page 18 and 19 contains the KPIs for the revenues and the split for the countries, and also the split for the product revenue. Due to the situation, lack of variety in our product offer, we see a decline in basically all areas, whether it's regions or distribution channels. So also subsequently our e-commerce part, which with the mobile apps and the bidding agents is based on the show format, of course does show also decline, despite the fact that this is a little bit lower than the TV revenue. For the pages 20 and 21 with the group segment reporting, you can see for the group functions eliminations the minus 1.2 million. This exactly contains the mentioned idle cost of 750,000 euros. Same on page 21, where we see the 926,000 for the group and functions and eliminations compared to the minus 208 of last year. So before we come to the outlook 2018, maybe a quick jump to page 32 of the presentation in the appendix show the net cash flow from operating activities, which is with minus 48, basically zero. And the effect in its majority comes from the decrease in inventories. So for the third quarter, or for the nine-month period compared to last year, of course, we decreased the inventories quite significantly. As you remember, might remember from the past, that our inventory levels have always been quite high. So this is basically the point where we finance our losses from the earnings. For Q4 and also for the start in 2019, as in the past, as we said also in our outlook, frequently the way back to profitability is our main priority, but at the same time, of course, we maintain our liquidity. And as we have this substantial amount of stock, that's basically the way of financing the turnaround. So on page 23, the outlook for 2018, just to summarize, Ilumeos E has decided to outsource its remaining production. So we have close cooperation with local partners in Bangkok and in Jaipur, India. Clear focus on reduction of fixed costs, which affects us heavily, especially in times of declining revenues, but moreover also increasing the flexibility in our production, which we were missing in the past. For the closing of the production, the management production in Chantaburi is asked to commence a solvent liquidation. So the factory in Thailand, in Chantaburi, has a quite solid structure in terms of balance sheet, which is also shown in the quarterly release. So that we are confident that all outstanding and remaining liabilities can be settled. For 2018, for the segments Germany and Italy, we will see or we expect for Q4 2018 substantial improvement both in sales and earnings, especially in comparison to the third quarter. So that we are confident to see the first impact of the change model from single sourcing to multi-factoring. Within the segment other, revenues of course will be significantly lower as we are missing the B2B business. Subconsequently also the segment EBITDA will be significantly lower. Nevertheless, we expect this to be very slightly positive, but for the coming year we most probably will waive on this segment. The third one is the segment group and eliminations. This is basically the reason why we revoked our forecasts for 2018 due to the fact that the board of Elomeo SA decided to close its production in Chantaburi. There will be, of course, some further costs and also further idle costs arising also in Q4. Just to remind you, 750 was the amount for the third quarter. As of today, we cannot 100% foresee the total effects, and that's why we were revoking our forecast for this segment and subsequently also for the total segment EBITDA. Referring to Ingo's description on the turnaround program of improved revenues and margins, but also for the very strong cost program savings, we expect a total effect of around 9 million or up to 9 million euros for 2019. So that as a consequence, this should give us a break-even situation for the following year. So now I would like to ask our operator to start the questionnaire.
Thank you very much. We will now start the question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone. I will announce your name when it's your turn to ask your question. In case you wish to cancel your question, please press star 2. For questions or remarks, please press star 1 now. We have our first question from Mr. Jörg Philipp Frey. Your line is open.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. Probably the first one, did I get this right if I'm looking at your quarterly report, that the worst case additional loss to what you've already shown now at the 9-month stage out of the closure of Thailand is another half a million loss? Could you comment on that, please? Or is there any recourse, or are these financial liabilities that you've shown here, are they recourse liabilities? That's probably the other way of stating that.
To be honest, no. The balance sheet, if you refer to that, is just showing the asset side. Point we cannot 100% be sure at that stage is are the idle costs arising for the fourth quarter. So the 750K clearly give an indication, but at this point we cannot 100% tell you a solid number
what the total effect will be.
Okay, probably I have to ask it differently. This 11 million total liabilities that you've shown for the Thai factory, is that
yes.
fully included in your group liabilities?
Yes.
So in case this, if excluding any running costs, if you would close down today, could you let this subsidiary, let it go into receivership and more or less just book this loss of half a million theoretically?
Theoretically, yes. We have made a pretty transparent declaration about this in our quarter result. The liabilities of our production facility in Thailand are non-recourse, and the total amount of assets exceeds the total amount of liabilities. So at this point, we see from a possible solvent liquidation of the factory, we see no additional negative impact to the whole group. But this is a long-term process, so it will take probably another couple of weeks until we have determined this. But what we can state is that all of the liabilities of the factory are non-recourse, so there's no other entity within the group that has given any guarantee or something like that towards these liabilities.
Thanks. I think that's very important to gauge a kind of worst case scenario as as you've more or less stated, the relationship regarding the Thai entities is pretty sour right now. And that brings me directly to my second question. As you have still a portion of single sourcing of your product sourced out of Thailand, how are you currently gauged the risk for disruptions now in Q4 while you are not yet able to quickly ramp up your multiple sourcing product lineup?
So far in our plans for Q4, there's no product inflow calculated from our existing factory. So all of the product inflow in Q4 will come through the new multi-manufacturing process. And the share of multi-manufacturing has already risen quite dramatically from September to November, and it will continue to rise at the same speed, more or less, maybe a little bit faster, maybe a little less fast, but more or less at the same level into December of 2018.
Okay, that's great to hear. And probably correct, coming again to this multi-product offering, my take is a bit your Thai facility had a rather old-fashioned, vulgarly, bling-bling kind of design approach. Is that what you are saying with the more modern design targeting younger target groups? Or probably you can elaborate a bit on that, how far you intend to change the design of your products.
We don't really plan to completely change the design of our products. It's only through the approach that we will focus on in the future, we will be able to adapt much better to market trends and make sure that the designs that the market needs can be produced in a lean manner, while in particular in the first half of 2018, with the low level of utilization of our factory and the consequent focus on utilization, producing large numbers of the same design, that has become a little bit boring. But our database of designs is still quite vast, and we continue to have a very lean process in coming up with new designs that we can tailor now even more to the market. So it's not that we are planning to change our product assortment altogether. It's also not that we are saying we're trying to rejuvenate our entire product range in order to attract much younger customer groups. We have a very loyal and very attractive customer group that generates very high revenues per customer over a very long period of time. And the top priority will be to serve these clients with the product they want. And if on top we can attract new customers by offering a little bit more contemporary designs, then this will be a nice on-top effect to our sales.
So this rejuvenation mostly refers to the new brands which we've already introduced at the start of the year. Correct.
Monozone is a very good example there. It's a brand that we introduced in 2017 already, and it's a brand that is purchased by much younger customers due to the fact that it has much more contemporary and modern design, and therefore we are offering a product that I could say is a good entry into the world of Juvelo in order to make these customers just as loyal as the customers we already have.
Well, so thanks a lot and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There are no further questions.
So thank you very much to everybody, and I'm looking forward to hearing you again for our full year Q4 numbers, where we can give you much more insight into how our turnaround project is progressing. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We want to thank everybody for taking part on this conference. Goodbye.